Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, a very fun show for you that is thematic, as we're starting to do more and more these days. Thank you, Martha, for pulling themes together for us. This week, we are talking about kind of that concept of ring by spring and planning weddings, and we know many of you are now engaged. There are tons of people that are engaged. Can I just say here at Focus on the Family, everyone is getting engaged, except for me, but that's okay, because God's sovereign. But we will be helping, first of all, a listener in our inbox during the show with approaching a friend, really, who I guess now has a male roommate, and she just thinks that's inappropriate. And so what should she say, if anything? That will be our inbox, and Candace will be here for that. Our culture segment, we're going to talk with a couple of the guys from our counseling department, very, very fun guys, who are going to help us, actually help the men deal with marriage prep. And they're going to be talking about, there's a book that they contributed to called The Smart Groom's Answer Guide that is published by Focus on the Family. And there are some fun things in there that we will be discussing. But right now for our roundtable, we are going to discuss wedding details, specifically as they relate to the wedding ceremony. And many of you know that this was a while ago, it was last year, I think, that I wrote a post for the blog called So You Think You Can Dance Down the Aisle. And it was about that J.K. wedding dance, the one that has had multi-million views, the couple in Minnesota, hey Minnesotans, that decided that they were going to come on down to Chris Brown's Forever in the church, and then the pastor was just like, okay, well, let's get started after they did that. So we kind of threw out the question of, was that appropriate? Is that really fun and spontaneous? Is it inappropriate, irreverent, whatever, and you all weighed in. Well, that conversation actually prompted just a general discussion on what are some of those things that people consider negotiable or non-negotiable when it comes to wedding ceremonies. And we pretty much say that when it comes to a reception, there's a lot that goes. I mean, there's a lot that's okay. Within reason, you know, let's remain scriptural. However, for ceremonies, there are some very specific opinions and very differing opinions on what is okay and what isn't okay, and there are some gray areas there too. So we want to discuss that today, and I think we're going to have some fun with it. So first of all, I want to welcome back Doug Tharp. Doug, welcome.
Thank you.
Doug is the director of young adults at Village 7 Press here in Colorado Springs, the church that I attend, and a fun guy. He has not yet had to do any wedding things for me, as I did say, but he has helped and assisted and performed a number of weddings for folks here and around. So very glad to have him. We also have Mike Hallsmith. Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Many of you remember Mike. He's been on the show before, and he just got married.
Yeah.
Give us the date. How long's it been now?
March 5th. It's been just about 2.5 weeks.
Wow. How's it going? Is it still holding?
Oh, yeah, good. Of course.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Marriage is great. I'm glad to be on this side.
All right. So a newly wed. Andrew Hess is back. Andrew actually married, or performed, I shouldn't say married, but, you know, performed the ceremony for Mike and his wife, Lexi. So, Andrew,
it's great good to be here.
Otherwise known as Brother there. Andrew. I like calling him Brother
it's
Andrew.
It's good to be here.
So, so he is here. And then we also have Katie Porter. Katie, welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks.
Hey. Katie's also been on the show here as part of our Sanctity of Human Life area, our adoption and orphan care area. So very great to have you. And Katie is planning a wedding. So she's not yet on this side of marriage, but getting there.
Right. Yep. So we've been engaged since the beginning of February, and we're getting married on June 18th. So,
all right, yeah. Which is my birthday. I'm very excited about that, that you picked that date
for
that reason.
Yes, I told Lisa that is exactly why we picked that date. Since it's her birthday, we knew we had to celebrate in a big way. So
that is very true. That is awesome. So that's a good date. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and jump in here. First of all, I want to talk to Mike and Katie and just generally throw out the idea of, okay, weddings. Mike, you obviously had to go through this process, and I'm sure much of it you were like, thank goodness Lexi has to deal with the details on this, but you certainly had input on it. And then Katie, you're probably in the just madness of getting this thing on the table. June, it's coming up quickly. So what considerations have you thought of when you first thought, or whether it was years ago or whether it was months ago or whether you're just now thinking of some things, when you thought, I want to craft a wedding ceremony that is going to represent me and my significant other, what does that entail?
Okay, do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, it's been one consideration for us is that we'll have only been engaged for 4 months. So it limits some of the planning, which I think is good to some extent, because then you don't have time to obsess about it, change your mind 15 times. It's kind of like we're making a decision and we're going with it. So that's been good for us in one respect. And actually, we've got most of the big planning done for all of our wedding, and we're just moving forward. I travel a lot for work too, so it's been one of those, okay, let's just make decisions, let's plan it. But we've also put a lot of emphasis on understanding that this will be a fun day. I have a lot of family from out of town, and my extended family hasn't met his extended family, and so it'll be a really fun time to all be together. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we'll be married. And that's the exciting part. And we're more focused on, okay, what happens on Sunday versus on Saturday? And so where do we go from here? And so making it a time when we can really enjoy each other, enjoy our family, but not having all the stress and not having all the expense and not doing some of the crazy things that other people have, because we know the focus, while this will be a fun time, is really the long term. So, we started doing pre-engagement counseling, which is now transferred to premarital counseling, because it's a 40-hour workshop, and so we just couldn't get it all done before we got engaged. But those are the kind of things that we're investing time in before we actually even get to the ceremony, because we recognize that it's just not all about that day. So yeah, we've just taken time to say, okay, how does this day though honor the Lord and honor our relationship and the commitment that we're making and the blending of two families, and how do we honor those people who've been close to us, but maybe not do all the extra things that people think, no, maybe you should do this. Well, you know what? It's our wedding, and we don't want to include 14 people if we don't have to. And, we want to talk to those people who are really close to us and have them stand with us and support us as we make this decision. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right on. You have to start with, it is the Lord's Day. You honor Him first and foremost. And then, like Lex and I, Lex, her mom, and her mom's best friend, Sherry, they planned out. I mean, I had very little input into the planning of the wedding, and thankfully.
Well, let's be honest, it was in Texas.
Texas,
so women, they just do their own
thing. They take it and run with it. It was really good, because Lex and I sat down, we're like, okay, these are the non-negotiables, these are the things that we want in our wedding as a testimony to God's goodness in our lives. And we actually had that opportunity to sit down. Andrew is a good friend of mine. Thank the Lord that he was able to perform the wedding. We sat down with Andrew, and we talked through kind of these are the things that we want. I'd been to a lot of weddings where when I watched the communion section of the wedding, I would see either the groom or the bride just go for the communion right away without considering the other person in which they're engaging in this communion before Christ. And so I wanted, when Lex and I did communion, I wanted it to be me serving her first before serving myself, identical to the way Christ serves the church. And I saw that along with the gospel presentation and the foundation of what marriage is in the ceremony to be a representation of Christ, of God, of what He is doing in the lives of Lex and I. And I had a mentor, Mark Tedder, a good friend of mine. He said, my wife and I are praying that you and Lex have a holy moment in that ceremony where you experience the presence of God to the point where that is the moment of we are one, we are being joined together before Christ, before these people, before God. I would probably say I had about three or four of those moments during the ceremony, and Andrew he did a spectacular job, definitely speaking the words of God during that ceremony. So,
yeah, that's good. Did you, Andrew, before you agreed to marry Mike and Lexi, did you sit down and say, okay, did you kind of have to put your stamp of approval on stuff, or did you kind of just trust them to do what they were doing?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do if you're going to perform a wedding. And with Mike, like, we're such good friends that we've had conversations where I knew where their heart was regarding, the Lord. And so knowing that they, want to honor God and want to serve Him and believe in the oneness that God does when two people get married, we really didn't talk through, like, okay, you need to sign off on these things. It was just, I just kind of knew going forward. But I do think there are a few of those things, that a couple recognizes that this isn't just, that God is the main player in a wedding. That it's not two people committing to each other or somebody officiating it, as much as God is making two people one flesh. And the Bible talks about that and the mystery of what is marriage. And so I wanted to make sure that anytime that I do a wedding that the couple gets that, Jesus even referred to that. It was first mentioned in Genesis. Jesus refers to it. Paul refers to it. in the scriptures. And so really trying to make sure that they understand, you know, this is serious. Even in the midst of a celebration, there is this seriousness where God is doing a great work. He's doing an invisible work, but he's doing a work between mm-hmm. the couple.
Well, it used to be, I mean, it's interesting how much wedding ceremonies have evolved, because it used to be that you just stood up at the end of the service and the pastor, as kind of like a tack on, would kind of, you know, pull the couples forward that were going to get married, and they would get married, and then everyone goes off kind of on their own. And it really was part of the worship service. And now it's become a whole separate event. Doug, I want to pull you in. So what, you know, you, like I said, you've done a lot of weddings and stuff. What have you kind of seen as your initial, when you first sit down with a couple, what are some of the things that you go over and that you talk through?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Some of the premarital counseling I've done has been for very extreme, you know, kinds of couples. So on one hand, you know, I'll have a couple that I taught back when they were high schoolers, and they're still really young, and they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. On the other end, you know, I've had two 39-year-olds who have both been divorced, who are kind of living together already, and this is, they're going to do justice of the peace, and they're just getting counseling because someone told them they needed to, kind of thing. And so sitting down with, when you have two extremes like that, it's very interesting to think through, why are you even doing this, and what are you trying to, you know, say when you have this ceremony? And what I've noticed is that it does seem to kind of be a culture of, it's my day, either as a couple, or it's my day for the bride, and what I want goes and how I want goes. And I think it's really important to try to think, to take them through steps and say, here's why we do these things. And there's a real purpose. There's a real value. You know, it's a covenant between, not just between the two of you, between God and you guys. It's a picture of Christ in the church. As Andrew pointed out, it's all throughout Scripture. And so I really like the phrase. There's a phrase that talks about that a wedding ceremony needs to be truthful on all levels. And it's not just a sense in truth as in the words you say, but it's truthful in the actions that go on. Mm-hmm. And so when people start to want to do things, I don't think it's always necessarily black and white, but what are they trying to communicate, and how does it glorify God in this, you know, basically worship service that is supposed to bring him glory before the couple?
Yeah. So we have a lot of, you know, folks out there who probably are planning weddings. Of course, Katie is as well. And I think, you know, in talking about some of the particulars, it's interesting to see some of the differing perspectives and the motivations behind them. So, okay, Mike, you referred to you guys doing communion as a couple. Mm-hmm. You didn't open it up to the whole congregation.
Correct.
Was that something that you had always planned on doing, or was it something that just kind of came up and you'd seen it in other weddings and you were like, hey, this might be kind of cool?
I think it was something that we always planned on doing. We knew that for that moment, that was us tasting of that sacrifice together. I mean, everyone was watching, and hopefully people were engaging with that communion in their own hearts. I think that was also the opportunity to show what Christ's sacrifice was to the unbelievers, because both Lex's family and mine, I mean, there are unbelievers on those sides of the family. So, it was an example.
So what, Doug, weigh in here a little bit, because there are definitely some church traditions where doing communion as part of a wedding ceremony is not okay. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. The way that some churches, such as a lot of the Reformed churches, the Presbyterian churches, view communion and baptism, you know, as sacraments, and that there are seem to be very clear indications of Scripture as to what's to accompany those sacraments. And so with communion, what we see is that, you know, there's things that need to accompany that, and so we're not actually opposed to doing communion in wedding ceremonies, but that communion is always accompanied by the preaching of the Word. And then we also talk about fencing the table, you know, where we here's what communion's about, and, you know, if you're not a believer, you shouldn't take it, condemnation up on yourself, so kind of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Which, and if you do it in a wedding, could take you 20 minutes
exactly
to clarify for everyone exactly that may have wandered in off the street.
Yeah, so trying to explain it, you know, that can be problematic. And then also, both communion and baptism are community events. You know, you always see them celebrated as a people of God coming together. Mm-hmm. And so we don't practice private communion at all. And so, again, would not be opposed to doing it in a worship service, in a wedding ceremony. But if you're doing that, you know, yeah, how do you communicate, especially if you've got a lot of non-believers in town, and what are these guys doing with that stuff up there? And, you know, are you going to fence the table? Are you going to you know, do you have to preach the word separately from just the word that you give in the homily? And so there's so much that goes into it that a lot of times it's just, okay, you know, this is probably not the place for it, or we're going to make it very intentional and do it upright.
Okay. Interesting. Any thoughts on that, Katie? Have you guys thought of if you're going to incorporate that? Or?
Well, we haven't planned out our wedding down to all the specifics yet for the ceremony. We're meeting with the pastor here in a couple weeks to talk through more of that. We've had just the first conversations with him. He and his wife actually are best friends of my fiance's parents, so they're well connected with the family too, so it's not someone that's off the street or anything, but they have the same kind of rule that the communion is served to the whole congregation, so they're fine to do it because they do view the ceremony as a worship service, and so they are kind of particular on what we need to see the music list. If you're going to write your own vows, we do need to see them beforehand and those kinds of things. And if you want to do communion, fine, but we need to plan ahead because we will serve it to the whole congregation. We won't do it just as the couple because we believe this is a worship service and it should be open for everyone. So we haven't made the decision whether or not we will or not, but both of us come from pretty strong Christian families. So I think there's, a few unbelievers here and there, but for the most part, strong Christian families. So we've yet to decide that, but there are some of those kind of things that we're thinking about. How do we make sure that this service really honors the Lord as a worship service and not a glorifying Katie and Cooper service where right. we just get to be the ones that everyone's excited about?
Yeah, which is interesting because that's another point that people try to kind of put their own little stamp on things is by utilizing music or, I've even heard of people like having video clips in the ceremony. I know, Doug, had you had the option, you would have had Lord of the Rings.
Yes, absolutely.
In your own wedding, but someone must have nixed that. So a lot of those kind of like cultural references to the point of, like I said, that example of the JK wedding dance, dancing down in your recessional and stuff. What do you guys think about that?
I think that can be done tastefully, especially when they're recessing. Mike and Lexi played the Josh Turner song "Would You Go With Me," and it was just kind of like it just kind of set that tone of like it was a fun song, and I never even thought like, oh wow, should they do that? I think generally to save as much of that for the reception as possible. The reception is when the party in breakout mode, but. But I think in the ceremony itself, you do want to remember, God is here and He is working. He is doing something. And so you want to be careful that everything you choose to do and everything you choose to say is honoring to Him and recognizing who He is. And so I do think that, some of the videos that I've seen, I wonder, are the people that are watching that wedding getting that God is doing a work here? And I would probably suspect maybe not, but.
Or do they feel their reception's already begun the ceremony's even started? Mm-hmm.
And I think there are ways you can make the ceremony very personal. I feel like Cooper and I are doing that. He really wanted the guys to wear cowboy boots. He's in law school in Wyoming. He has cowboy boots. He loves them. Great. I'm happy. They all got black cowboy boots. They're so excited about them. And it's kind of a personal touch for them, but it's not detracting in any way to the meaning of the ceremony. I love bright colors. And today's actually an exception, but most days I joke that I'm dressed like a bag of Skittles because I wear so many colors all at the same time. So our wedding colors are dark purple, bright orange, and bright blue, which kind of sounds ugly, but it looks really pretty, trust me. So we're doing things like that. That's kind of me as all those colors. And the cowboy boots with a suit or with a J. Crew sweater is him. So, okay, that's what he's going to do. And so we'll have some of those elements, but not to a point where that's all people will notice or that's all they'll focus on or remember.
You're not coming down as Princess Leia.
Right, no. I'm not coming down as Princess Leia.
It's not going to be like the crossing of the lightsabers. Yeah.
Well, and even that, part of it's just my own personal preference, but I don't have a huge fancy gown. I'm not planning a big headpiece. I'm not, my dress was actually a bridesmaid's dress that comes in ivory. It doesn't come in white because it's bridesmaids, but, it's just more of a simple dress. I'm not trying to be so extravagant and act like someone that I'm not just because it's my wedding day. Mm-hmm. And since I tend to have more of that personality, it's just going to be a little more simple and laid back. And we're doing fake flowers at the reception so we can save money and just things like that, that it's kind of low key. It's about a celebration and about the joining of our lives, but less of a production.
I think it's important on that day to remind each other what the day is about, because it is very easy as you're ramping up to that day, as friends and family are coming into town, like for us, for Lex and I was down in Texas, and I haven't seen a lot of these friends for a while, and it's the sense of like, this day is becoming more and more about me, more and more about me, and to slow down, and even if it is a moment, the day before the wedding, to look at each other and say, remember, this day is not about us, it's about honoring the Lord, and at all possible, we need to step aside and allow the Lord to be glorified in this, mm-hmm. because he is the creator of marriage, and he is the one to be honored and glorified in the midst of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you have, in fact, I was just talking to someone the other day who talked about her wedding, and she said, well, I had this idea, and it was relatively simple until my mother-in-law stepped in, and then she just, like, took over the whole thing. And so between that, you know, other members of the family, their mm-hmm. input, and then just general ideas that you have or fun things you want to do. I mean, Doug, I'm sure you've had to run interference on that before. Like, how do you negotiate stuff like that where you do say, you know, really, yeah, you're not going to be able to throw down this hip-hop song, or you're not going to be able to, you know, your mother-in-law needs to not come in dressed like a peacock or something right. like that.
Or Princess Leia. Yeah, that's a great question. I think really as the pastor officiating the ceremony, you have authority there, and that's important. Hopefully you know the couple already from premarital or mm-hmm. even pre-engagement counseling, which I think is fantastic, by the way.
I second that.
So if you know them already, then you're already going to be able to speak into their lives. And I think if they are willing to come to you in the first place, that if it's something like the JK wedding dance, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing, you're able to really ask good questions instead of just coming down and saying, no, that's stupid. You know, you're able to say things like, so what are you trying to communicate with this? You know, mm-hmm. and pointing to things like, the whole point of the bride coming in on her father's arm is to communicate the, you know, you're leaving, you're with him, you're with your family, and then you're leaving, you're cleaving, and then when you get married, you're weaving, right? So you can communicate things like that. They sound really fun, and people are like, oh, that's great. And then honestly, we're also able to be the bad cop when it comes to things like families. It's not always easy, but ultimately you can stay in and say, you know what, we're doing this wedding. I'm officiating it. They're the ones that are in the ceremony. And this is what we're doing. And you mm-hmm. can do that in a winsome and attractive way. But that's really our role. And I think Andrew would probably second, yeah. you know, is we're there to protect the ceremony as far as is it glorifying God, but also to protect the couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I one of the things that I do is when I meet with the couple, I ask them to try to have all the major decisions made a week before the ceremony. Because, you know, as you get down to those last minutes, all these are the last, you know, that last week, all these last minute details pop up, and you don't want to be thinking about, oh, wait, what are we going to do in that, and how would we decide that? And so all the weddings I've done, I've kind of run the rehearsal and just kind of said, here's what we're going to do. And I think that helps because, you know, sometimes the moms will say, well, I thought we were going to do this. And mm-hmm. instead of putting the bride on the spot, you know, this is her weekend. And sometimes brides don't want to make decisions the night before their wedding. You know, I can just say, well, you know, I've talked to Lexi and here's what she wanted, or I've talked to whoever. And so I think, and that didn't happen with Mike and Lexi's wedding, but I think that, you know, we can help plan. And I even try to ask good questions. Like when we met before Mike and Lexi got married, I asked several questions just saying, you should decide this, you should decide this. And so that they kind of know, here's what we want. And if I know what they want, then I have no problem, you know, like Doug said, saying, here's kind of the vision of the couple. And then, yeah, then I can kind of help.
Just be enforcer. And
yeah, yeah. And just, you know, if you know, the mother-in-law, grandmother-in-law, or, you know, yeah. aunt or something says, oh, we always do this type of thing. Sorry. I can say, yeah. Well, not anymore.
So what is, speaking doll. Of the officiant, another thing that's popular here, and certainly in Colorado, you can marry yourselves. You don't even have to have anyone. You can go on the top of Pikes Peak if you want and say whatever you want. And as long as you sign the paper, you're going to be recognized. What, any concerns about that, obviously, if you're moving into a Christian ceremony?
Yes.
Yeah, huge concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that is that belittles is the role of God in that wedding. And the wedding is a great opportunity to share your beliefs about marriage and about faith and about the Lord with those people that you're closest with. And so to do it in kind of a private setting like that, where it's just you two and maybe some close friends, I think, you know, I'm all for, you know, doing a ceremony out in nature somewhere or something. But I think, you know, it is an opportunity to kind of proclaim and to say, you know, here's what we're about, and here's what we believe about what we're doing. And there's also some accountability there, you know. Right. As a couple stands before a lot of their friends and family, those friends and family now have seen them publicly before God commit their lives to each other, to make a covenant till death do us part. And so there's some accountability that, you know, we haven't done this behind closed doors or, you know, out in the middle of the desert or something, but we've done this in front of those people we care about most. So,
Yeah.
And I think what it really comes down to is we live in such an individualized culture that we think that, you know, we live in a vacuum essentially. And if you look at scripture, I mean, how often, and the answer is almost always, do events take place in the community of believers, Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. And the idea that whenever they celebrate these things together, whether it's the Feast of the Old Testament or being given the law at Mount Sinai or, you know, the formation of the church, you know, at Pentecost, if you want to start there. I mean, all of these things happen in a community of believers, and that we believe that marriage should be the same. We do it together. We do it, you know, I like the idea of accountability. And for those who are unbelievers there, it's a great opportunity to hear the gospel too. Mm-hmm. And the couples living out the gospel as the symbol of, you know, Christ loving his church. So because of all that, I think it's very important. That's not to say you can't do it in nature, but you have more of a, is it a private matter or is it a community event? And it should be a community event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's also that, you know, to think of those that have walked with you in your journey. And I've had a couple of friends who have been adamant about eloping. And I think that once it happened, you know, it was kind of like, wow, you know, the rest of us were like, we like prayed with you for like 7 years about that situation. Yeah. And now we were just kind of like left out, you know? And so I think there is that element of it being marriage as a community project, you know, and it is done, you know, in the spirit of Christian community. And I think that it's important to remember, to go back to that day and say, I remember when you made that covenant and I will now stand with you as you are fighting for your marriage 10 years down the road or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's an important element.
Yeah, the first wedding I did, actually, the couple built that in where they had the audience stand and kind of commit to the couple that they would, you know, watch over them and support them and encourage them. And I thought I hadn't seen that before, but it was really touching, you know, that these people haven't come just as participants, but they're people that have come and said, you know, we love you guys and we're excited about this new phase of your lives and we're here for you. You know, if you need anything, call us. And I think that is powerful, you know, that community aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cooper and I have been intentional about who we involve in the wedding and in what aspects. And when we thought about who would we want to officiate our wedding, we said, well, we'd prefer it be someone who knows us, first of all, but who also we see as kind of a mentor and someone who's going to shepherd our relationship. And so it wasn't just the random pastor. It wasn't even one of our, I mean, we know friends who are ordained, but we thought, well, we'd like to have someone who is more the mentor rather than a peer. And how do we include the bridesmaids and groomsmen who are closest to us, who have walked with us? I mean, some of my girlfriends, I'm not old by any means, but I didn't get married right out of college either. And so I've got girlfriends who've walked with me through these years of singleness, who've prayed, and those are the girls that I want to stand up there. And I didn't have every girl whose wedding I've been in, and I didn't have every girl I've known since high school or middle school or elementary school. And we just had to say, you know what, these are the folks that have stood with us for so long.
You on Facebook.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Too bad for that. Right. Okay, whatever. Now you know who your real friends are.
Yeah, but we wanted those people who were committed to saying, no, we support you as a couple. We've supported you as an individual. We support this union. We're here with you moving forward, too. It's not just a short-term thing.
And actually for Lex and I as well, in choosing the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and the officiant, totally the same. Yeah. Who are these guys that have walked through some of the darkest days of my life and they've prayed with me and they've, you know, hashed these things out. And for Lex, the girls, and then for Andrew, it was kind of a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer for me, too. I was happy to say yes.
Oh, well, that's cool. All right. Well, good thoughts, you guys. Hopefully this will be helpful to those of you out there who are kind of navigating this path right now, moving ahead, and, you know, and to not think of it, I think, as, you know, something that's going to make or break, you know, your marriage. I mean, but it's just good things to think about and stuff, and just fun stuff, ways to, again, really keep it meaningful and keep it special. But to remember, I think, and it's only been in recent years that I think it's really been hammered home to me that, wow, remember, this is a worship service. It is about the Lord. And, you know, don't get so caught up in the knot and all the other magazines and stuff that you're reading and everything that you
do. Those are helpful.
Forget that. They
can be helpful. Although there are times I read them and I think, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. It says, you should do this. I don't want to.
So then you just say, no.
I'm right. Not gonna do it. Put your foot down.
So, well, good thoughts. We'll you know, keep following Mike and Lex, and we'll look forward to hearing about Katie's wedding when it happens on my birthday. Very exciting stuff. So thanks, you guys, for being part of the conversation.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.